I have to admit, when we first flipped the coin on this, I was a little bit dismayed. Because I've always thought backwards compatibility is quite important to have in consoles. Because, you know, video games need to have a culture. And to have a culture, you have to be able to access the video games of the past. You have to remember those lessons.
Yes.
But when I started thinking about it, some of the arguments against it kind of make a little bit of sense to me.
Okay, like what?
Like, the fact that you might want to seriously alter your hardware. And admittedly, that was sort of what Nintendo did when they brought out the Wii, which was still backwards compatible with the GameCube, but only if you, like, bought the classic controller to go with it. But I support streamlining as a general evolutionary process. And I liked that, the whole concept that they were stripping down the whole idea of a controller there. And backwards compatibility does sort of get in the way of really shaking up the idea of what we're doing with the controllers, because controllers basically haven't changed as a technology since the DualShock on the PS2, unless you want to count VR controllers, which is another own thing.
Sure. Well, I guess you technically could count VR controllers, but so the DualShock as having two joysticks.
Yeah, two joysticks, and then it's always the four... Like the D-pad on the left and the four buttons on the right and the two shoulders and two triggers.
Sure.
And that's been basically every... I mean, the N64 controller was a disaster, but once they worked out the DualShock, everyone's been following that pattern. I mean, the GameCube is a bit weird, but it still follows the basic pattern.
I loved the GameCube controller, just as a little aside. But, you know, I guess I would argue that I think any sort of medium, any sort of art form needs some standards. And those standards can change over time. But if you are a indie level game maker or any game maker, you need some standards to adhere to. And so, you know, we need controller standards.
Well, that's, I guess that's what I'm talking about. That's what it is now. It's the standard controller.
Right. And so then your argument here is that if you always have to shoehorn in older games, you can never really push the medium forward.
Basically.
I like that as a concept. I feel a lot of different ways about this whole backwards compatibility thing. I'm usually yelled at because I am on the side of kind of Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft, where it's like, if they don't want to release the games on their new systems, they don't fucking have to. Like, it's their system, you know? You also don't have to buy the new system.
And emulating an older system can, as I said, be quite a weight on a new piece of hardware, especially when a new piece of hardware has to be as streamlined as possible to fit in a console box.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they could have just jammed a PS2 into the PS3 with it, but it would have been a bit fatter. And an already fat console.
Right. Right. You know, I liked your thought about how far back we should go.
Yeah, because Nintendo for a while were just sort of doing the previous console. Like the Wii could do GameCube discs, and the Wii U could do Wii discs, but not GameCube discs.
Right. And then they switched up the format to little cards with the Switch, so you can't do any of that other crap.
Well, you can always download stuff now, I suppose.
That's right.
Handhelds did the same thing. The original DS was compatible with GBA carts. They had a little GBA cart slot in the bottom.
Yes, I remember.
Then the 3DS could run previous DS carts, but that GBA cart slot was gone. Sorry, asshole. Moving with the times.
Keep up, Grandpa.
Yeah, all those cartridges from the cartridge days are all so much Fisher-Price plastic now.
It's really true. It's really true. And I mean, the cartridges, I think that's a whole nother topic, is like how weird the cartridges were, because like how small the actual board for an NES game is and how big the cartridges is always a ridiculous thing to me.
And of course, Nintendo trying to do a cartridge console in the N64 when everyone else was moving into CDs was one of the classic blunders of gaming history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who knows why? But here's what I will say. Here's my little story about like why I also think it's important that consoles are backwards compatible. For a long time, for several years, I worked at a video game store.
Okay.
We sold, you know, used video games and used movies, and it was a wonderful time. And this was right around the PlayStation 2 launch.
Funnily enough, I was working at a EB Games at around the time of the PlayStation 2's launch, but only very briefly as a Christmas temp.
Oh, how funny are parallel paths.
That would have been around 2000, yeah?
Yeah, a little after 2000.
That was when the PS2 came out.
Well, then there you go. But I guess what my story is that, you know, parents would come in and you had a GameCube, you had an Xbox, and you had a PlayStation 2. And, you know, the question is which one to buy. And I would always, you know, unless, of course, they were looking for Mario games. Oh, if you're looking for Mario games, you got one option. But if you're just looking to play every game ever, you can play all of those games. And you can play all of those games. And you're like, what a selling point that was.
For the PS2, sure.
Yeah, because you can play PlayStation 2 games and you can play PlayStation 1 games. Go nuts.
The PS5 is going to be backwards compatible, isn't it? The new one.
With certain games. They have specifically not said that it will be compatible with all PlayStation 4 games.
With certain. I remember the Xbox 360 was doing something similar. Or was it the Xbox One? It'll be compatible with certain Xbox 360 games.
Yes.
That's always the trick, isn't it? Consoles these days, it feels like you might as well make them backwards compatible because so many of them are basically just PCs in little boxes.
Well, that was another point of mine, which is like everything's, they're just reading information off of a disc. There's no reason why the PlayStation 5 can't be backwards compatible with every PlayStation 4 game.
Well, there's a lot we don't know about hardware.
I suppose.
I'm sure there's some very good reason for the PlayStation 5 not to be automatically backwards compatible with anything you shove in there, and the comments will be quick to inform us.
It's a very important reason that's not a literal software switch saying, nope, nope, nope.
That does make me wonder.
It might have, I guess, you know, it might have something to do. I know there's a ton of new next-gen tech going into the PlayStation 5, you know, audio awareness and so much blippity-bloop.
It could be the specific characteristics of the PS4 that are now somewhat obsolete, but which some of the games depend on.
Sure, sure.
That now the PS5 has streamlined out. Going back to my streamlining point.
That's just a lack of understanding of me and the hardware involved in video games.
But it's entirely possible that console developers just don't want to support old games.
Gotta move forward, gotta buy the new thing.
Because console manufacturers, hand in hand with the AAA game developers and publishers, are always pushing the cutting edge.
Yes.
They're always saying you gotta be right on the forefront, or everyone will think you're a loser. You wanna have the best graphics with all the shiny, visible sweat drops appearing on people's model, extremely realistically modeled faces.
Absolutely.
And consoles in particular probably feel they have a duty to embody that cutting edge because they are the most accessible form of gaming to the general public.
Sure, but are still, I would call them a luxury product, and they want to be a luxury brand, so their new titles need to look as crisp and sweet as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's not going to look as crisp and sweet if they're having to display PS2 era games or whatever.
2-year-old games, ew.
Especially not PS1 era ones. Well, there's always emulation, and a lot of these old console exclusives end up on PC, although some don't. Sony are pretty bad at that.
Right.
I've long said it would be nice if Infamous or Infamous 2 could have a PC release. I mean, it'd be win-win for Sony. I mean, they're just sort of sitting on that. They could just put it out and get a whole bunch of extra money from the Steam crowd.
Well, not just extra money, but also like good word of mouth. People will be talking. Yeah. They will be talking about the infamous Sony finally opens up their vault to the lowly PC players. Oh, Sony, PlayStation, PlayStation, PlayStation. It would be free advertising, really.
Nice. Silent Hill 2 got a Steam release as well. But apparently Konami just lost the code for that.
Wait, is that true?
I don't know the full story, but Konami are run by jerks, and apparently they just lost the code for Silent Hill 2.
They just straight up lost it.
Yeah, I remember hearing somewhere that in order to archive it, they just printed it all out and then removed it all from digital storage. So somewhere there's just boxes and boxes with reams and reams of code for Silent Hill 2.
That sounds like something that's not true.
Well, a slightest amount of Google research could probably tell me, but I cannot be asked.
Oh, no. And, you know, like, I believe it's true. Like, that's just such a dumb decision that it, you want to believe it's not true, but it's also such a dumb decision, you know it is true.
I just idly Googled Silent Hill 2 printed out.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's nothing. It's just Silent Hill 2 art prints.
Oh, well then. You've been debunked, friend.
Silent Hill 2 source code lost. There we go. Konami lost the source code of Silent Hill 2 and 3, resulting in HD collection's poor quality. Yeah, I knew that much.
Read it.
Okay. I'm just finding like a news article on a site called Gaming Bolt that I've never heard of.
Dubious.
In an interesting turn of events, it has been revealed that Konami has lost the source code for Silent Hill 2 and 3, which resulted in a massive bug quashing period for the developers porting the games to the HD consoles. They had to work with an unfinished build and had to fix some issues that the original developers had to fix in their final build that they no longer had. Well, nothing to hear about printing it all out. So,
perhaps, is that something you just made up?
Perhaps I got misled somewhere. Perhaps I dreamed it.
Well. In any case, back to the very... I think the real problem with, like, whether or not consoles... whether it's important for consoles to be backwards compatible is, once again, wibbly.
Yeah, it's hard to... the phrase important to have backwards compatibility, it's sort of a... it's a bit namby-pamby phrasing. We could have said, is it vital for a console to backwards compatibility? And obviously not, because all the console really needs to do is run current games.
Right.
And it's obviously not vital, because there are plenty of consoles that aren't backwards compatible, that seem to get by perfectly well.
Well, and you know, it's like, there, you know, also, there is an amount of work that needs to be put in to make games run on newer systems. And so if a console can be backwards compatible all the way until the original NES, you are also discounting the amount of work that needs to be put in to make those old games run on the new systems.
I suppose. But let's take a step back and look at the broader picture here.
Oh, shit. I'm stepping back.
What is the responsibility of these people to maintain the history of gaming? Because as we're all aware, if we forget the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And one of the video game's biggest problems is that it has no long-term memory.
Right.
That's why we're constantly getting stuff like L.A. Noire, just to pick an example out of the air, which goes, hey, look, we've invented adventure games. Look, it's a third-person, over-the-shoulder sandbox game, but guess what? It's not about shooting things.
What?
Shooting things is in it, but it's not about it. You got to solve adventure game interactive detective story by looking at clues and putting together answers. This is a new thing that we invented. Look at it. And meanwhile, there is the entire history of PC gaming in the 90s that would like to have a word.
just waiting at the door, tapping their toe.
Yeah.
I think the makers of video games and the makers of consoles have zero obligation to preserve gaming history. I believe much like what journalists are supposed to do for news and history of the world, games journalists, that is the job of a third party.
Okay. So whose job is it? Is it our job, the game journalists? Does there need to be some kind of national institution like the British Library that will record a copy of every game made?
I believe so. You know, here we have the Library of Congress. And I do believe there are games in the Library of Congress. I might be wrong about that. I'm about to do a Google search, though.
Do they have to be, like, specially classified as culturally important, though? Library of Congress video games. Yeah, there is something called the Game Canon, which is a list of games considered for preservation by the Library of Congress. So it's not, they don't automatically keep a copy of everything. Some games are considered. But it's quite a small list, actually, looking at it on Wikipedia.
What?
There's only 10 games on it. Shall I list them off?
Yes. What games have they decided need to be preserved for all time?
Okay. Space War!
All right.
Star Raiders. I'm not even sure what that is. Star Raiders, Zork,
okay.
Tetris.
Yeah, that makes sense.
SimCity.
Sure.
Super Mario Bros. 3.
Interesting that they went with 3. I mean, yeah, it's a fine game.
Civilization 7. Oh, no, wait. I misread that. It's Civilization 1/2.
Oh, okay.
Doom. The Warcraft series. And Sensible World of Soccer. And this is just like a suggested thing that the Library of Congress is considering, apparently.
Sure.
Wait a minute. It says here, in September 2012, the Library of Congress already had 3,000 games for many platforms and about 1,500 strategy guides.
Yeah, I'm here at the libraryofcongress.gov, loc.gov, with an interview with David Gibson, who is in charge of their video game collection, and there is quite a few titles here.
Okay.
I see the Fallout, there's a lot.
Right.
The collection, as it now stands, consists of about 3,000 games of a wide variety of platforms, 1,500 strategy guides, in addition to descriptive documentation that comes through copyright with the game, about 50 examples of gameplay footage on VHS or DVD. So not only is it up to us journalists, or you journalists, I'm just a commentator.
I'm a critic. We're on the borderline.
Yeah, we're in the gray zone. But as it turns out, the government is also holding on to a bit of history.
Well, who cares if they've got a couple of dusty box jackets on some shelf somewhere that will never be played again? For we have the internet, which has naturally formed into an archive of literally everything.
Absolutely. We have us as we have the collective human knowledge of everyone ever. And sometimes that's not a good thing, but sometimes, you know, it is a good thing.
Well, I think in line with the copyright law, there should be an amount of time. And after that amount of time has passed, you no longer sell a video game and it's just made available to play on the internet for anyone.
I agree with that statement.
A complete archive of our video gaming history.
The source code is then is open for anyone to make playable or not. Absolutely, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Well, that might be hard. Not everyone holds onto their source code, apparently. But I'm sure there's some way to extract it from...
Sure.
If you got an old copy of Silent Hill 2 on PC or something.
Hackers can do amazing things. Let's just be honest about that. I think that's all right. So I guess where this little tangent started from is, do you personally think that video game makers or console makers are under any need to preserve the games?
Well, I suppose not when you put it like that. I mean, as you say, it's the culture around video games that creates the culture. Mm-hmm. Wait, that came out wrong. But their responsibility is just to make the video games. It's the responsibility of the surrounding infrastructure to create the culture of video games.
Yes.
So, yes, it's probably our job. But at the same time, it is nice for a console to be backwards compatible.
That's true.
It's very nice indeed.
That's true. And
I suppose since I already made the argument that you have to cut off how many consoles you're going to support after a while, you can't expect the Switch to be supporting every console back to the NES. So at some point, like, backwards compatibility can't be relied upon as a cultural preservation device for that reason.
Right.
So the responsibility lies elsewhere. Man, I think I just talked myself out of wanting every console to have backwards compatibility.
Well, you know, like we keep saying, it's a case-by-case basis where, as we're talking about the PlayStation 5, which as of recording is not out yet, playing a PlayStation 4 game on a PlayStation 5, theoretically, not knowing anything, should be a simple endeavor. But...
Well, yes. In fairness, this isn't really a culture issue, is it? It's just maintaining the shelf life of games that are still very new.
Right. Right. But... I think equally, there's no possible reason that a Wii U game should be able to be played on a Switch because they are just so fundamentally different of devices. And so, you know, what we're asking for here is you either need to innovate the crap out of your console or allow us to be backwards compatible.
Yes. Although we obviously can't enforce that.
No, we hold no power whatsoever.
Well, thanks for listening. So much for that.
I'm so sorry. I really thought that you were about to start with something. But hey, we did great there. We had a fun conversation about backwards compatibility.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, and Yahtzee's done, so that's fine. That's fine, but hey.
I don't know. There's got to be more to this.
You know what? I honestly don't know if there is. I think this is a pretty light topic.
Yes. Although, I think it's turned out to be slightly more nuanced than I originally thought.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
All right.
So you did it. You opened up your own mind, Yahtzee.
There you go. I've expanded my horizons.
And remember that if you haven't watched the episode this is based off, head over to escapistmagazine.com where you can watch Is It Important That Consoles Be Backwards Compatible? Where we have our little scripted-ish thing. It's animated. It's cute. You should watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, it's fun. It was a little bit strained this week, but it's fun.
I blame myself.
It's all right. It's all right.
That means Yahtzee blames me too, but that's great. We'll be back next week.
Can't all be world beaters. Hope you enjoyed that. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.